This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I think for a long time you tried to be Mr. Broadcaster and try, am I saying this right? Is my inflection correct? Is this? And when I became just me, Tom, who people can get to know, and yeah, occasionally I'll make a mistake. Maybe I'll say something wrong. Maybe I'll misidentify somebody or whatever. But it's okay. That's me. And most of the time, nobody really notices except you when you make a mistake. You just do your thing.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to my podcasters. It means a lot that you go out of your way to download the show and listen to it on your own time. If you are listening on the radio, hopefully you are enjoying our new 104.1 FM signal. I think it sounds amazing, and of course 11:20 AM is still there for you to enjoy. Once you get outside the St. Louis area, you can still hear KMOX. All right, I just want to jump straight into my interview this week. And this week's guest needs very little introduction, if any at all. This is KMOX after all. I am talking to the great Tom Ackerman, and we have a conversation about sports, about KMOX, creating a network of people you can count on, and what he loves most about St. Louis. It's such a fun conversation. I really hope you guys enjoy. Let's get to it. Tom, thanks for coming on the Rachel Zimmerman Show. I appreciate it.
Rachel, it is my pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm doing even better now that I'm talking to you. I want to start by just thanking you. When I first started the show, I feel like you were always checking in with me and just asking how it was going. And I just thought that was so sweet that you even noticed that I started a new show and that you took the time to ask about that. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. You've sounded great on Dave's show, and it's really, you know, I've always looked at it as all of your show. It's an ensemble cast that he runs, but, you know, you really came into your own pretty quickly on that, I thought, on the KMOX side of things, and, you know, seeing you branch off and do this is really cool, and I've always appreciated our talent, what they're able to do, and when you get an opportunity to run with it. You've done a really nice job.
Well, that means a lot. Speaking of Dave, I was telling him I was going to do this interview with you, and he was like, that'll be good, because he's like Mr. KMOX. And I think a lot of people feel that way. I mean, you're the sports director, you're the host of Total Information AM, Sports on a Sunday Morning, Gas House Gang. Did I leave anything out, or did I remember all of this?
No, that's about right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Little Cardinals pregames every so often. But yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, it's just, you know, to think back when I first started here, to be part of the fabric of the radio station, you know, and to never have left.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming up on 28 years.
Oh, that's
since
crazy.
I started here as a producer the first year, and then went on the air in year two. It's been a heck of a run. It's been my life. I mean, I'm almost 50 years old. Been here since I was 22 years old. So it's all I know, Rachel.
Yeah.
But I love the place. And I before that, I grew up a fan of it, listening to the station. It's still amazing to me that people hear me on the air and know who I am. I'm just a kid from St. Louis that wanted to get into radio.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that journey to KMOX. So you went to University of Indiana.
I did.
And you studied sports broadcasting. Let's back up a second here. A lot of people love sports, probably just as passionately as you do. But what led you to think, like, okay, I'm going to pursue this and I'm going to do this as a career?
Really, when I was a little kid, I loved sports, but I loved listening to sports on the radio and watching it on TV. And I became enamored with broadcasting, the broadcasters and how they did it, how they told the story, how they made it feel big. And mm-hmm. So I always wanted to do that. So play-by-play was that part of it. And I think every kid's dream is to do something like that. And then, you know, I would listen to KMOX after the games and I would catch Sports Open Line, and that led me to listen to other shows on the air. And I'm talking about, like, I was supposed to be doing my homework and I'm listening to these shows in my room, and I got into it and I enjoyed that style. I liked the long form, talking about it, taking phone calls, and the extension of it. And then, of course, you know, the games themselves, listening to Jack and Mike call the games. The soundtrack of the summer was Jack Buck and Mike Shannon calling games. And I always felt like it was part of my life, and I just wanted to continue on that path. And it just so happens that I ended up doing it at KMOX. But I was going to do it regardless. I mean, I really wanted to do it. I used to run around the house, you know, calling games.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be out in the yard throwing the football around a lot of times to myself, calling games. People are probably like, what is that kid doing? Throwing passes up in the air and going and catching it like a wide receiver and calling a touchdown, and then going inside and filling out a box score of the game that I just did. I'm telling you, I was way into it. I used to throw a tennis ball against a stack of railroad ties in our driveway and pretending like I was the 1985 Cardinals, you know, going through the rotation. The next day I was so-and-so, the next day I was so-and-so, and I just loved it. And all the time I was, you know, in my head and sometimes out loud calling the game. And that was, you know, a big part of who I was. So I really, that was a big part of my childhood, without question.
Okay, so continuing on that, you know, you mentioned like calling your own games and then going in and filling in the box score. This might be kind of a huge question, maybe a hard question, maybe an easy question, but what's your absolute favorite thing about sports? Like, what draws you to it so much?
It really is the human side of it. It's that these people have gotten to this level and can do what they do under pressure with everybody watching them is fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
And being behind the scenes of it through the years, being able to see them as human beings and be able to listen to that other side of, you know, some of the difficulties that you go through day to day. They get paid a lot of money, but it doesn't mean they're any less human than you or me. I mean, they go through a daily life. They have families. They have things happen to them, and they have to go out and perform. Just as I'm fascinated with people who go on stage and perform, like, you know, stand-up comics. One of the things I would love to go into and do a documentary someday on their lives and what that's all about. You know, getting up and performing in front of people is something that I always found fascinating. And so to see them do that at this level, the mm-hmm. big league level, let alone college, high school, all the stuff that I've covered or been a part of, is fascinating to me. The human element, for sure. Yeah, I like reading about stats and I like reading about trends and learning about the strategy of the game, for sure. But I think what's kept me in it for so long is those human moments. Like recently when we saw Rory McIlroy win the Masters and literally be overcome with emotion to where he was doubled over on the green sobbing, mm-hmm. is sports. Like, it's just perfect. It's exactly what I look for.
Yeah, it's interesting. The human element thing was not something that I thought about much until the past couple of years being on KMOX and being surrounded by so much sports talk. And just hearing the way it's like, oh, he was terrible last night. I'm like, man, if I were that guy and I was listening, that would hurt so bad. But that's just something they have to absorb and obsess and accept and move on from. And that is really fascinating.
I was always taught, and Jack Buck was one of those who taught me to do this, was to be fair and honest in your observations and reporting, but to do it in a way that if that person's parents were listening, would they appreciate how you're describing it? And to stay between the lines. You know, we're talking about performance, and to not go assuming other things about that person just because they didn't do well in a game, you know, to not paint everything with a broad brush and to look at performance and the whole season and really, you know, to have a healthy overview of everything. So, yeah, I do. I mean, you can be critical of a player. Like, they're in the big leagues. Again, they get paid a lot of money to do a job, and it's public. Mm-hmm. Just as I do a job and people will be critical of how I do things, that's okay. I mean, I chose this. I chose to have everybody listen in on what I do every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's part of that industry that they chose. So, but at the same time, yes, they have families. I'll give you an example. You know, when it comes to trading somebody, or we get to the trade deadline, or we're talking about free agency, you know, they're not, they are assets to an organization, but it's not like they're not stocks. I mean, they're people with families and kids, and they move and they have anxiety about things. And so you keep that all in mind, just to be respectful of what it took for them to get to this level. Even if it's the coach or the front office person that you're talking about and being critical of, to keep it to a certain level, because remember, you know, they went through a lot to get to that level, and I have a level of respect for what it took that person to get there. It doesn't mean that they're, you know, Teflon against what we're going to say. They have to be able to take that as well. But that's okay. I mean, that's all part of the business.
Next up on the Rachel Zimmerman Show, it's part two of my conversation with Tom Ackerman. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Everything's a subscription now. Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show. Now it's time for part two of my interview with KMOX's Tom Ackerman.
Let's talk about sports on a Sunday morning. Just kind of the background, like how did you start doing that?
Sports on a Sunday morning. Man, do I love that show. I love all shows. Don't get me wrong. I love Total Information AM, and I love doing Cardinals pregame and all the things that I've done at the station. But sports on a Sunday morning is a tradition that started a long, long time ago. Some of our best of the best sports personalities have hosted the show. And it's the first one that I produced. So I started in August of 1997 producing Sunday morning. That was my first job, Total Information AM with Bill Reeker, followed by Ron Jacober on Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Very cool.
And Ron, you know, I was 22 years old and he asked my advice. You know, what do you think we should do? Who would you like to book here? What guest would work well? What would you ask the Blues general manager, the Cardinals general manager? And he would pick my brain a little bit. And I loved that. And I got into the show and I had a lot of fun producing the show for him for a number of years. Even as I went on the air as a reporter, I was still helping out on Sports on a Sunday Morning. He did it for a long time until his retirement. I took over as sports director and Mike Kelly started to host the show after Ron finished in what was a semi-retirement. He was just doing Sports on a Sunday Morning. Then Mike Kelly, the voice of Mizzou, started doing it. And when I was asked to do it, I don't know how many years it's been now, but it was an honor. Mike moved back to Columbia, and I jumped in to do the show. And I love it because it is my chance to breathe a little bit. It's my chance to give my opinion. It's my chance to connect with all of the teams. It's gotten to the point where the teams know most of them have their own time slot. So, like, I could run through the show. I've booked the show in a matter of 30 minutes because everybody has their slot. So 10:15 is kind of a headliner, whatever the big story is at that time. 10:30 is usually SLU or another guest when we're not in SLU season. 10:45 is Blues. 11:15 is City. 11:30 is John Mozeliak. 11:45 is Bernie Miklas. So it's a show that kind of already is somewhat pre-booked.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can mix it up and match. And our listeners know that they're going to get somewhere in there their favorite team, but they're going to be educated and entertained, I hope, on all of the teams in town. And it gives the front office or coaches or players an opportunity to have a platform as well.
I'm curious, you know, you mentioned Ron Jacober asking your opinion on stuff when you were really young. Do you kind of take that into account when you deal with the young folks that work here at KMOX? I think we have a great batch of part-timers and producers coming up right now, just young kids who are hungry and want to do more. How do you kind of handle them? Do you look to those guys that you worked with when you first started?
Absolutely. You know, I treat it like when I started. When I started and I had Jack Buck or Ron Jacober or Randy Carricker or Dan McLaughlin or any of these people that I was looking up to ask me for my opinion and make me part of it, I want everybody else to be part of it. And Mike Shannon was great with me. I mean, when I was 22, 23 years old, Mike basically was like, hey, you're at KMOX for a reason. So go in there and ask those guys questions and tell me what they say about this, this, and this. And, you know, I think of that all the time. We brought you to KMOX for a reason. Like, this is KMOX. So you're here. So your presence means a lot. So we're going to ask you. You know, a good example is Drew Young, my producer on Sunday morning. He's done a really nice job. And I give him a lot of freedom to go, you know, do some things. I ask him his opinion. I value his opinion. And the same goes for Matt Pajeski, who came up in sports and works in this office. We're recording this in the famous KMOX sports office. And others who have come up. And I mention a lot of producers because I was one. You know, I was a producer to start. And so I know what goes on behind the scenes. And I remember how much that meant to me to feel like I was part of it, even though I wasn't on air necessarily. Everybody here plays a big part in what we do. Ultimately, when I do a show, everything falls on me, you know, never on the producer. I don't want Drew Young to take any sort of criticism for anything that ever goes wrong on the show. That's all me. But he is a big part of making that show work. Same thing with anything that we do here. I want everyone to feel like they're part of this thing. And I also, the other thing, Rachel, is I like to know, this would be my advice to young people when they're trying to get into this business, is to know what everybody does. So you should be able to at least sit in on a meeting or just sit in on a conversation once in a while. You should know what everyone's role is here at some level so you can talk to them and maybe you can help them out. And guess what? If you do that, they will help you out. And that absolutely makes us a better family. So everybody kind of understands what you do and you understand what they do, it just makes things work so much better.
So you mentioned you love sports on a Sunday morning. I'm wondering, what's your favorite thing to do in sports media, whether it's calling a game, whether it's sports on a Sunday morning, whether it's Gas House Gang? What's like, you're like, okay, today's my day.
Well, I'll be completely honest here, 100%. There's nothing better than calling a live sporting event. I mean, doing play-by-play. And I can remember my first one professionally. It was Mizzou basketball. I was asked to fill in for Mike for their opener because there was a conflict with football. So they needed someone to call play-by-play. I had been around the team and I had done some sideline reporting for football. So they asked me to do play-by-play Mizzou basketball, ranked fifth in the country, opening game at Oakland University, which is in Detroit. And so I went up there and did the game. And I'll never forget what that felt like. And I can tell you, so much from that game. It was packed to the rafters in this small arena. They played there because a lot of the Mizzou players were from Detroit. So they scheduled it so that they could play in their hometown. And Mizzou won the game 90-85. It was a very fast game. I had not called a game since college. So in my brain, I was thinking this game's too fast for me. And I wondered if I was keeping up, but I felt pretty good about it. And I felt like I was sort of like floating, like I was It was truly an out of body experience where I was almost like watching myself call this game and living out a dream. And then when the game was over, I wondered if I did a good enough job. I went back and listened to it. It sounded fine. And I remember, more than one person telling me, "You got the bug now." And I'm like, "What bug?" And they said, "The play-by-play bug. Once you get bit by the bug, it's over. Like, you, once you do it and you feel good about it, you'll always want to do it." And it's very true. There's just nothing better than not knowing what's about to happen. And you're the person describing it on radio for the audience, play-by-play, what is happening. And you get to describe in detail what you see. Television, same thing, different style, mm-hmm. where you're sort of the conductor of the orchestra in a way. You're the point guard distributing, so you're reading promotions, you're talking to your analyst, you're listening in your ear to the director and the producer. You're basically guiding people through a show, but same thing. When I do a Cardinals game on TV, if I ever fill in for Chip, it's, you know, you can call directional things here and there about where the ball is going and help them along. But mostly you're keeping them engaged in this television production. And it is an incredible feeling. It really is. Not just baseball, basketball, but any chance I've had to do football, soccer, I don't care what it is. Calling play-by-play is very special.
It sounds like a tremendous amount of pressure, though. Like the way you just described it and then what I can tell just observing it, it seems like it's on you.
I would probably miss it immensely if any of this ever went away, whether it's getting ready for a show. That kind of anxiety and pressure remains there somewhat because you want to do a good job, but I think you're right. The play-by-play aspect of it, because it's happening in real time, I wouldn't want it any other way. You love that feeling. And once you get into a routine of calling a game, so the sport that I do the most is basketball, college basketball on TV and radio. And people think that it's hard to call basketball. It's really not. Once you do it multiple times, if you're doing it over and over, you get into a routine, get to the arena early, look at the players, get used to their mannerisms and who they are. And you could almost call the game and not even look at the numbers because you've memorized who's who. Mm. And you have familiarity because you've seen them play before and what style they like to play. And then you just go out and call the game and have fun with it. And you get into a routine of, you know, a ball goes out of bounds, you know that it's out of bounds because you can see the referee's signal, or you know who the foul is on because you were paying attention to a certain thing. It's just the way that you're... The more you do it, the more you see, the more the game slows down a little bit for you. So the pressure is then off. The first Cardinals game that I did, I felt oddly comfortable. I'm talking about TV. Very comfortable. And I go back and wonder why that was. One, I had Jim Edmonds calling the game with me, and I know Jim, and I felt really good about that. The producer in my ear was Brian Shapiro, who did college basketball with me for many years, so I was familiar with him. But mostly, I'm home. Like, this is in my park. Mm-hmm. I'm at Busch Stadium, 15 minutes from my house. This is the team I've been calling my entire life. Do I feel pressure doing my first Cardinals game on TV? I actually don't. I feel very comfortable. I probably felt it 2 or 3 days before, but when I actually sat down, put the headset on and went, it felt really good. And, you know, that I love that feeling too. I love that feeling. And you have to also keep in mind that you are your worst critic, for sure. There's no doubt about it. So as long as you understand that and feel confident in yourself, know that you being your own critic is just you wanting to get better. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of picking yourself apart and saying, I probably could say that a little bit better. But the overall body of work you should feel good about.
Yeah, I was going to bring up, you said earlier, you know, the first basketball game you called, you went back and you said it sounded fine. And I'm thinking it probably sounded more than fine. But we do this thing as broadcasters. We're like, that was so bad. It's never as bad when you go back and listen to it later.
No, that's right. I mean, it's true. And even in the talk show format, I absolutely, especially when we're doing videos, would say, you know, I forgot the camera was even on. And then you go and you watch it and say, yeah, actually, it was not too bad. I was, you know, just being me. Mm-hmm. And there's the other thing, Rachel, is that I've told Dave this too. And I told you all this on your show, is that I got so much better at all of this when I just became me and tried not to be someone that I wasn't. I think for a long time, you tried to be Mr. Broadcaster and try, how am I saying this right? Is my inflection correct? Is this? And when I became just me, Tom, who people can get to know, and yeah, occasionally I'll make a mistake. Maybe I'll say something wrong. Maybe I'll misidentify somebody or whatever. But it's okay. That's me. And most of the time, nobody really notices except you when you make a mistake. You just do your thing. And that, whether it's play-by-play or doing a talk show, I just know that the audience, and it does take some time, knows me. That's okay. They're okay with me. They just want to turn on the radio and hear me and, feel like it's just me and them. Is kind of where I go with this, is that listener in his or her car and me, that's it. And we're just having a conversation. Well, it's one-sided because I'm talking, but they feel comfortable being around me like I'm the companion that they're used to.
My conversation with Tom Ackerman isn't over yet. Stay through the commercial break to hear part 3 on The Rachel Zimmerman Show. And we're back on the...
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rachel Zimmerman Show. Now the final part of my interview with KMOX's Tom Ackerman.
You know, you mentioned whenever you were at Busch Stadium, just feeling like you're at home. Let's talk about the sports culture here in St. Louis as compared to other cities. Like, how do you look at St. Louis when we stack up against other cities? How would you describe us?
There's no city quite like us. There are other great sports cities, but I'm not sure that there's a city of our size, especially, where sports mean so much to the culture. We are a city of great parks, museums, restaurants, history, architecture, people, communities. But the one thing that is the common denominator, the one that has no political affiliation, that everybody can be a part of, this kind of unifies us as a region, is sports. And I think that plays a big role in our economy, in the health of downtown, all the things that St. Louis actually, you know, is about is sports in a lot of ways. And I think that makes us different. You know, we don't have a beach. We don't have mountains. We're not a big, bustling city with the Magnificent Mile. You know, we draw sports most of the time. That's our big draw. And on top of that, most people from St. Louis, yes, we do have people from other cities that come in and adopt the Cardinals and the Blues, and they become, you know, that's their second team, or maybe they're now their primary team. But I think most people, it's been handed down through the generations. You grew up here. You've lived here for a long time. That is what you talk about as a family. When a father and son aren't getting along or have nothing to say to each other, you can talk about last night's game. Mm-hmm. And I think that when it comes to the Cardinals, is a year-round thing that's been handed down from your grandparents to your parents to you, where you talk about it at Christmas and you talk about it at family gatherings. And the Blues have gotten to that level, where the Blues now are well over 50 years old. So, you know, they are part of the culture as well, handed down from your grandparents. Championship has been won, hopefully another. And, you know, you have a great history there. But it's like that with all of our other sports, too. I think high school sports are enormous here. Obviously, we have a huge soccer culture here, and now City leads the charge there. And on down the line, we're a great sports town, and that will never, ever die. Are we the best sports city in America? You know, we might think we are, but we're different. We're very protective of our region and our city. We'll stand up for ourselves. And, you know, when the Rams were yanked from us, we stood tall, and we still, in a lot of ways, look at City as a response to that. We look at the Battle Hawks as a response to that. Maybe other people around the country have forgotten about it, but we haven't. You know, so we care a lot about who we are, and sports, I think, is that source of pride. That STL on the cap, the blue note, means a lot to people.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned starting here in 1997. Since 1997, technology has boomed a lot. I'm just curious, like, how have you seen it change the way sports is covered? Like, how has it changed for you?
Yeah, well, you're sitting here in the KMOX sports office, so you see that machine that is off in the corner off to the left?
Yeah.
It has those two levels and a bunch of knobs on it.
Mm-hmm.
That, ladies and gentlemen, which you can't see, but Rachel and I can, is a reel-to-reel machine that we still have in here with a reel. Looks like it's racked up. I'm not sure what's on that reel, but we do have some reels in this cabinet. So if we needed to go find something, we would rack up a tape. So that's what I was using in 1997, 98, 99 when I started here. I would say we started going digital early 2000s and started to edit on computers. But before that, we were using carts. We were cutting tape and taking out pieces of tape and then pushing it back together and putting a clear small piece of tape over that tape and using a razor blade to cut out the stuff we didn't want. And that's how we presented that to you on the air. It's unbelievable how things have changed just from that standpoint. And then, of course, how you consume it as a viewer and a listener, everything is going to our phones today. So, you know, eventually everything will... I don't know if it'll phase out necessarily, but you're going to be trending more and more to the ease of just going to your phone and watching or listening to what you want or projecting it to a bigger screen or a bigger speaker. But yeah, the technology has changed how we present the product to you and how you consume the product. But I think, you know, the integrity of doing a story correctly and interviewing and entertaining and having fun hasn't changed, really. It's just a difference in how technologically we present it. I think maybe the audience does change over time and they expect something. But, you know, that may ebb and flow a little bit. But I'm just saying overall, you still have to deliver mm-hmm. the product. You have to deliver the info. You got to be timely, all those things.
Well, speaking of the info, it's got to take you so much time to just stay on top of everything when it comes to sports. Let's leave TIAM out of it. I mean, you're covering the general news too, which I'm sure is a bit overwhelming at times. My question is, how do you balance like these demanding sports schedules with family life, with normal life?
That's a really good question, because I will admit that when I was in my 20s, and again, I started here when I was 22 and I'm almost 50. When I was, let's say, 26, 27, 28, I was just getting married. I was getting burned out or getting close to being burned out. I was working really hard around the clock, trying to make a name for myself, taking on every job and, you know, trying to make ends meet, so to speak, and, you know, try to be a professional and get known. And I pushed it pretty hard. And when I became sports director in 2007, so I was 31 years old, I was, again, trying to do as much as I possibly could. I really think it wasn't until we had kids, which is right at that time, 31. So that was 2007. Erica was, when I took over as sports director, Erica, who's now 18, was just born. And it does change you. And I think that kids and family became even more important to me. And then when we hired Ben Boyd as our executive sports producer in 2010, getting the Cardinals' rights back, and 2011 was our first season, Ben was great to have with me because I was able to delegate and give him a great deal of responsibility, and it took some things off of my plate, and I felt very comfortable having him as my right-hand man, and the two of us really helped, you know, build the sports department through those years of Cardinal baseball. And not just him, but, you know, all the hosts that we've had. It's so nice to have people come on board in this department that I can trust, that when I'm off doing something with the family, I don't have to worry. They know how to reach me if they need to, and I can do that instead of having it consume you for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You do have to be able to take time off. I mean, the best of the best know how to get away and shut it off for a little bit. And so once I learned to do that, I became a lot better. I mean, really did. And people wonder, how do I sleep? I actually, more than you would think. You know, yes, I get up. One of the biggest questions is, what time do you get up? I get up no later than 4 o'clock in the morning, hustle down here to do the 5 o'clock show. I'm up late sometimes watching sports, but sometimes not. I've gotten very good at taking naps. I took an almost 2 hour nap yesterday. I felt like $1 million. It's actually harder to get back to sleep at night after that. but I'm off Friday, Saturday, you know? So I've learned how to manage my overall week and balance life with work. And really, I would say, understand that, yes, this is a job, but this is a lot of fun and I love it. I truly love sports and I truly love media. And if you love what you do, then you should remind yourself, that's why I'm getting up all the time doing this. That's why I stay connected. That's why I work hard, because I love it. If I didn't love it, then I wouldn't work hard and do it. So that's also the reminder to yourself that, why am I in this in the first place? Because I really do love this. And if in your heart you don't, then you should do something else.
Tommy, I have one more question for you. You mentioned you're off Fridays and Saturdays. You know how to unplug. What is it that you like to do outside of sports?
Oh, I love being with the kids, being with my wife. I coached my daughter's basketball team for 4 years. I'm sad that it's all over with, that she's going on to high school, but I'll still be with her. But I had so much fun with those girls. I love going to my daughter's lacrosse games and swim meets. Family's a big part of it. I love taking care of our dogs, going for walks with the dogs, and you know, traveling a little bit. I really like St. Louis a lot. I love the speed of St. Louis. I think that there's an ease of life here. There's also some challenging things here that we deal with as a city, but I love our quirky, different, you know, region that we have here. Of all, so I like to explore all of our communities of St. Louis. There are times where I'll pop into an area that I've never been. I love doing that on days off. And then, you know, little things like any dude would like to do. You know, I love playing golf. I like to fish. I like to, you know, sit around and have a few beers. I like to explore, you know, bourbons and things like that with my buddies. And just generally be around friends. I've got a great group of friends. I have a text group that we talk every day. It's six guys that I went to high school with. And we've kind of called it like dad therapy, where we just sit around, you know, we're part of that every day. And everyone usually has an idea of something that they've done, or, you know, something that they've done to their house, or something they've discovered on TV. And that's been a lot of fun too. I do think interacting with your friends and doing anything that you possibly can for them is something that I was taught by my dad. And I think that that is a huge, right before you came in here, I just got off the phone with a friend of mine. He called me and it was the dumbest conversation. We were just sitting there laughing and goofing off, but it was great. Like, I haven't talked to him in a few weeks and it was nice to hear his voice. He called me and it, you know, of course we were saying stupid stuff and just having a good time and laughing. I'm like, all right, see you later. I got work to do.
Well, Tom Ackerman, this has been such an honor having you on the show, for real. Like, I really appreciate your time, and this has been great. Thank you so much.
It's great to be with you, Rachel. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Really hope you enjoyed my conversation with Tom Ackerman. He is the real deal. I can't tell you how much I appreciate working with Tom, and it truly is an honor just to get to work with him. And he obviously has such a positive mindset and such a welcoming mindset when it comes to KMOX, and everyone around here appreciates that a lot. Sorry, I don't have much time in this segment, you guys. I went so long with him, but just wanted to remind you to follow me on Twitter at RachelZSTL and on Instagram at Rachel Zimmerman Show. We always post what's coming up on the show that week so you can see what's going on. All right, I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.